Hello and welcome to the Stock Stories Podcast. My name is Alex. I am your stock storyteller. I am your host for today. And Stock Stories is dedicated to helping you, the individual investor, make better investing decisions. And we do that primarily through case studies of companies and mental models. Welcome to episode 36. Hello, and thank you again for listening to Stock Stories. Today, we're going to get to another company today. We've been having fun so far going through the S&P 500 and talking about different mental models that will help us make better investing decisions. And last week, we talked about Occam's Razor. Hope you found that episode interesting. And today, we're going to jump right back into the companies. We're going to explore a different industry today than we've explored in the past. So this one should be fun, a little bit different. We're constantly exploring something new, something different. Sometimes we revisit old industries that we talked about. Sometimes we just jump right into something new. And today is one of those days. So today we're going to talk about Republic Services. All right, so what is Republic Services? You may not know this company by name immediately, but if you think about it, you just might because they're in our everyday lives, at least here in the United States. Republic Services is a waste management company. They're one of the biggest waste management company of non-hazardous solid waste materials in the country, alongside other companies like Waste Management and Stericycle and others. And we're just going to get right into the history. So this company was founded in 1981, so it's not really that old. The waste management industry in America is still relatively fragmented, but especially prior to the 80s, it was a very fragmented industry. This company was actually originally called Republic Industries, and they started buying car rental agencies and auto dealerships, of all things. And so they kind of had these two different business models. They had the dealerships and the car rental agencies, and then they had the waste management company. Well, then Republic Industries changed its name to AutoNation, and in 1996, it spun off Republic Services as its own IPO. And since then, it has been an independent company, so been around for 22 years now, and it has now become the second largest provider of non-hazardous solid waste and recycling services in the United States. They're currently in 41 different states and Puerto Rico, so they have a pretty broad reach. They've expanded to most areas of the country. And they currently serve over 2,700 municipalities and communities. And that translates to about 14 million customers. So they're all over the place now. And so there's a strong likelihood that they pick up your and my trash every week and recycling. The biggest event that's happened in their corporate history, even though their corporate history is relatively short, is that in 2008, they purchased their largest competitor, Allied Waste Industries, for $6.1 billion in stock. So they issued a ton of stock and bought out one of their competitors. And this massively increased the size of the company. And then since then, they've been making much smaller acquisitions. But that was kind of their big one in their history. Now, just a brief overview of what the waste management industry looks like. So you or I, we consume things on a daily basis, right? We have packaging, we have yard waste, we have food waste, all these things that are byproducts of the things that we consume. And we can't help but consume something because we're human beings, right? Not to mention that we live in a society where many things that we purchase are packaged in some way, and they're always going to be byproducts of the things that we consume. So the waste management industry is really focused on controlling and managing all of those byproducts. So it's not just about trash, but also recycling things. So think about aluminum or paper or plastic. Those things can get recycled and resold and remade into new things, and then the cycle continues over and over again. But many things get sent to landfills or are disposed of in some other way in order to degrade and basically sit. So there's a lot going on here from an environmental perspective and a consumption perspective, but the reality is that you and I consume things all the time. In fact, most of the products that, or all the products, I don't know, maybe, but most of the products that we consume on a daily basis, they all have something at the end that we have to get rid of. The other day we talked about Colgate Palmolive. Well, you know, when you and I finish that tube of toothpaste, we're not going to let it sit around in the house, right? We're going to throw it in the trash can. That trash can's going to go in a bag. That bag's going to go in a bucket outside of the house. And that bucket is going to get picked up by a waste services provider, which will probably take that, process it, and then put it in a landfill. That's most likely what's going to happen to you and I's tube of toothpaste. Think about Ford. We talked about Ford the other day. Once we're done driving our car, we'll probably, maybe we'll pass it down to a family member, maybe we'll sell it. At some point, though, that car is going to get sold enough times, and it'll be enough years down the road where it's basically a piece of junk and it can't drive anymore. And so that car is going to eventually be scrapped. It'll be either sold off for parts. Will be sold off for parts, and then the chassis will probably be compressed and then sent to a junkyard and then recycled there. So every physical good in our lives that is not organic, that just naturally disintegrates, like an apple core or something like that, this has to be processed either through a landfill or some other means, and or it can be recycled and reused into new materials. So the waste management industry, everybody's a customer, right? It's kind of like Colgate Palmolive. Everybody benefits from brushing their teeth and cleaning their house or their hands with Palmolive soap. In the waste management industry, everyone's a customer because everyone consumes something. And so that, to me, is the initial appeal of this industry in general. Now, as far as Republic Services, where do they fit in this? So the industry is about 58%, and I'm talking about revenues here, 58% run by public companies. 23% of the industry is in the hands of private companies, and 20% about, you know, these are approximate numbers, is run by municipal governments. So we have a decent mix here. It's not like the entire industry is completely private or completely public or completely government owned. There's a mixture, and these entities work together to provide the services that they do. So Republic Services, it's a large company. They've got over 16,000 vehicles in their fleet, so they're one of the largest operators of commercial trucks or vehicles in the United States, and they're just constantly picking up trash and recycling. Now, one interesting thing about this company, one of the first times that I heard about it was when I was looking at Cascade Investments. You may not have ever heard of Cascade Investments, but it is an investment a registered investment firm that is basically a holding company for Bill Gates. So this is where Bill Gates holds his fortune outside of Microsoft stock, which he has been consistently selling for many, many years. He's been consistently selling off his stake in Microsoft and transferring those assets to Cascade Investments. And Cascade owns many different companies as investments, but one of them is Republic Services. And they actually own 30% of the company, which I found pretty interesting. So they have taken a keen interest in this. Now, one of the tools that we can use as investors is by looking at what other investors are doing and seeing the kinds of positions that they hold and trying to glean out information from that. Obviously, we should never outsource our thinking to anybody else, but it's useful to look for clues. So that's one of the ways that I first came across this company. So more about Republic Services. They pick up 5.1 million times a day. So this is not just residential. Keep in mind, this is not just our houses. These are companies. These are construction sites. These are oil and gas projects. Republic Services collects waste from all different industries at different levels of scale. Now, as far as the residential routes, 75% of these are automated, so they only have one driver in these trucks, which used to not be the case. Used to usually have two people in a crew, but these systems have been improved with technology over time, so that reduces the labor costs, it reduces the safety incidents. And one thing that Republic Services has noted is that the growth within their industry historically has been linked to population growth and general economic activity. And think about it, that makes sense, right? The more people you have, people need to consume things because we're human beings and that's what we do. That increases the need for waste collection, transfer, and recycling. And also, when economic times are good, say people are building houses, people are building apartment buildings, businesses are forming, that generates a lot of waste because a lot of things need to get done, and physically a lot of byproducts are created as a result of business formation and construction in particular. So Republic Services' strategy is they want to be number one or two in every local market that they serve. So even though they're a national company, the waste management business is very much a localized business. They have to go into these different neighborhoods, different municipalities, and bid for these contracts in order to pick up people's trash. So what they do is they bid for the contracts. Typically, they're between 1 and 5 years long, although that can vary depending on the specific locale and regulations and all sorts of other factors. But typically, they can secure contracts for a couple of years. And they regularly do acquisitions. So Republic Services is pretty serious about continually consolidating the industry by buying out other companies. And they typically do this in the $100 million range. They call them tuck-in acquisitions. So they want to find other smaller waste management companies that are already serving a local community and then buy them out and integrate them into their national system. And this is something they've been doing for several years now, and that's part of their growth strategy. So as far as the business model and how Republic Services makes money, let's break it down. So the first is the biggest and most obvious, and this is collection services, which accounts for 74% of the revenue of the company. Then you have landfill services, which is 12%, transfer services, which is 5%, recycling, which is 5%, and energy, which is 2%. And then there's other, which is a very small percent. So I'll just work my way backwards. So energy, very small portion of revenue, but nonetheless a portion. It's basically oil and gas waste. So when companies explore for oil and gas, there are natural chemical byproducts that they need to dispose of, and Republic Services helps out with that. Recycling, this one is obvious. So paper, aluminum, different types of plastics, they need to be sorted and they need to be processed if they're going to be reused. And Republic Services does this in many communities where there's a demand for it and where it is profitable to do so. And they have found that the demand among consumers for recycling has been going up, which very much a good thing from an environmental standpoint too. And they can also make a profit on this too. So it works out both ways. Unfortunately, this is only 5% of the revenues, but hopefully that piece of the pie grows over time just from purely an environmental standpoint. Transfer services, this is kind of the middle ground between when things get collected and when things get put into a landfill. So transfer centers are basically large collection sites of waste that Republic Services owns, where other companies can come and transfer their collected materials, municipalities can come and transfer their collected materials, and Republic Services can have their own trucks dump their materials there. And then from there, larger trucks can take a bigger load and go on a dedicated route back and forth between the transfer station and the landfill. So it's basically just part of the network. And so Republic Services, they collect fees from these transfer stations, from these third parties who want to use them. So that is 5% of the revenue. 12% coming from landfill services, they own landfills. And this is ultimately where a lot of trash ends up. So the trash comes to the landfill, and then companies or governments have to pay to put their stuff there. And Republic Services has a variety of land and landfills. It's not just you buy some real estate and say, this is a landfill now, we're going to charge you to put your trash here. It's more complex than that. There are permits that you have to get. There's regulations. You're constantly being monitored by the Environmental Protection Agency. So there's a high barrier to entry to getting this real estate and using it for this specific purpose. And Republic Services has done a good job, it seems like, in getting all of this land and maintaining it for that purpose. Now, as far as collection services, 74% of the revenue comes from this. So we need to pay very close attention to how the company makes money from this. So of the 74%, it's broken out into different segments. So 23% is residential, 30% is small container, and 21% is large container. So we have residential collection services, small container collection services, and large container collection services. Now the residential one is the most obvious. Now, this is you and I dumping our trash and dragging the trash can outside to the curb, and then them coming to pick it up. We pay for that. Usually it's through a agreement with our local neighborhood or municipality, and that's a contract. Or they actually have started doing a subscription service. So they have an app now where you can pay directly on your phone for your trash services. So depending on the market, individual households may pay individually or as a group. So that's 23% of the revenue. 30% of the revenues come from small container, and 21% come from large container. And that just means, you know, basically large collection bins or dumpsters. And so small businesses comprise the small, and large businesses comprise the large. So if you have a construction site, you're probably a large container customer. You're constantly producing waste on a new project, and you need it to be hauled off on a very regular basis. Small container, think about apartment complexes or office buildings. These types of businesses or entities produce kind of a medium amount of waste, and that needs to be dealt with too. So that's where Republic Services comes in. So, one other thing I wanted to mention about landfills. So when the trash is compacted and it's put in these landfills, there are natural gases that are basically given off as a byproduct of the waste. And normally this is harmful to the environment because a lot of it is methane. So what Republic Services does is they actually trap the landfill gas in many instances, and then this gas can be converted into energy. So there is some thought as to making sure that at every point in the waste collection and processing process that things are being used and done in an environmentally sustainable way. So that's another way that Republic Services tries to make money and be more efficient, is by converting those landfill gases. So looking at the big picture of the revenue, I mean, they make most of their money from collecting trash. That's their bread and butter. That's what they do. And they make money from other ways as well. One thing I did note is that 50% of the revenue of their contracts, and this is across all categories, it's tied to pricing indices. And it's specifically spelled out in their annual report that the consumer, the consumer price index, CPI. So if you're not familiar with the CPI, this is an index that the government uses to track basically the costs of goods and services and track inflation over time. So many different things are tied to this index, and it looks like 50% of Republic Services revenues are tied to this index. Well, what does that mean? That means that if there's low inflation or if there's high inflation, the prices that Republic Services will be able to charge is based on that. So that's something to keep in mind. That's a pretty big inflation hedge. It's kind of like if you rent out a piece of real estate. The reason that many people like real estate as an investment is because it's an inflation hedge. If prices go up, in general, home prices also go up. And if prices go up, in general, people's wages typically increase as well, which means you can charge higher rents. And so that's an inflation hedge. And so a similar thing is happening with a significant portion of Republic Services revenues, because they are so closely tied to local communities, to the way that modern society functions with how we dispose of things. So as far as the financials, let's get into some numbers. So in 2017, they had $10 billion in revenue. And of that, they got to keep $1.2 billion in net income. This translated to $3.77 per share in earnings. And they paid out $1.33 in dividends. So good revenue, they're profitable, and they pay out dividends. All right, good to know. In 2011, they had $8.1 billion in revenue. They made $0.58 billion in net income, or $580 million, and $1.56 in earnings per share. And they paid out 84 cents in dividends. So the revenue has been increasing about 3-4% annually, but the net income, it looks like it went up 12% a year, but really 2017 was kind of an odd year, again, because of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. It kind of messed with a lot of the numbers. So it looks better than it is. The 2018 estimate of earnings per share is about $3 a share. So if you look at that $3 a share number versus 2011's number, Republic Services has increased earnings by about 9.7% annually over the past several years, which is pretty nice. I mean, this is high single digits earnings growth. And the dividend has grown in tandem with that. It's grown 8% year over year. As far as the balance sheet, the company has never really had a lot of cash. They have $80 million as of last year and $60 million in 2011. So this is a capital-intensive business. I mean, they have 16,000 trucks. They have to maintain this fleet. They have to buy fuel. There's all sorts of heavy equipment and machinery needed for a business like this. So there's not a lot of cash. So they're making $10 billion in revenue a year, but they only have $80 million on cash on hand. So that might be concerning in other types of businesses, but for public services, it seems, I'm not an expert on the industry by any means yet. I just started studying it, but it looks like, you know, this is reasonable. Their total assets are $21 billion, up from $19.5 billion several years ago. And then the long-term debt is $7.4 billion compared to $6.8 billion in 2011. So moderate increases in debt, moderate increases in assets, nothing that we haven't seen before. It's just general growth of the business. Nothing too alarming as far as the ratios are concerned on the balance sheet. As far as operating cash, in 2017, Republic Services made $1.9 billion in operating cash, and compare this to $1.7 billion in 2011. So that seems like pretty slow growth, but it's steady growth. For investment cash, $1.3 billion was put back into the business in 2017, and $0.9 billion was put back into the business in 2011. So there has been some growth in investments. Now, the majority of this has been put into property, plant, and equipment purchases. So think about truck upgrades. Think about modernizing their fleets. Think about modernizing their landfill operations. That's where a lot of the money has been going. So about $900 million last year. Now, $300 million of that was used for acquisitions. And again, this is part of Republic Services' overall strategy to acquire other businesses in the waste management space. As far as the financial cash, the financing cash in the business, $500 million was put into the business in 2017 compared to $800 million in 2011. So a little bit more debt was borrowed than paid off this past year in 2017. And that tends to be the case with this company. They borrow money and they pay it back. They borrow money and they pay it back. It's a continual cycle. So $600 million was used for share repurchases in 2017, and $400 million was used for dividends. Contrast that in 2011, where $400 million was used for buybacks and $300 million was used for dividends. So the return to shareholders has been consistent and gradually increasing, and it seems like the management of Republic Services has been pretty disciplined in their ratios of how much they want to return to shareholders via dividends and how much they want to return via share repurchases. They've got this pretty balanced approach, which I like. The stock right now is trading at about $72 a share as I record this in October 2018. And their earnings of this year are estimated to be around $3. So what does that mean? The price earnings ratio is 24. The dividend is $1.50 a share. It just got raised a little bit. And the dividend has been consistently rising over the past several years at that about 8% rate. So the stock is yielding 2% right now. And as far as the share buybacks, of course, the company has been issuing some shares. So the net effect of that is the share count, share count has been reduced to a lower amount. And it looks like Republic Services eliminates about 2% of their shares every year. And so let's put this together. You've got a 2% dividend yield. Combine that with 2% buybacks, you know, 2% increase in your ownership due to stock repurchases. And then the earnings growth, I think it's going to be around 8%. They do better in good economic times, sure. But when people need trash, they need to pay for it. Back in the recession, some of the numbers indicated to me that the revenues were pretty steady. So the revenues were pretty steady throughout the recession. I'm talking about 2009, 10, and 11. But the profit actually increased slightly because it looked like management cut down on some of their administrative costs because they realized they were undergoing hard times. And so the profit did not suffer as a result of the recession, which to me is a sign of a good business. If they survive this past recession, they can probably survive the next one. And so I do expect earnings to grow at a high single digit rate. So if you add these things together, you get 12% year-over-year growth in the business as far as return to investors, except for the fact that the valuation is a little bit high. So I think it's more reasonable for Republic Services to trade at 20 or probably 17 to 20 times earnings is probably a better valuation. So the current 24 times earnings is a little rich. So I would knock down the annual returns a little bit because of that. So I think that investors who buy today probably will make high single digit returns, maybe even low single digit returns. So maybe 9, maybe 10%. And I think that's just because the stability of the business model is really good. The revenue goes up almost every year. The earnings go up almost every year. And yeah, it's still a growing company. They have a little bit of organic growth mixed with a little bit of acquisitions, mixed with a little bit of dividends and a little bit of share repurchases. No one capital allocation component of this story is jumping out at me. But when you combine all of these pieces together, you've got a good solid company that's providing a service that people need, that people want, and people don't really think about it because it's a trash company, right? But I remember when Peter Lynch talked about how good of an investment Waste Management was back in the day, that I was excited to explore Republic Services. So Republic Services seems like a solid company. I would be more interested if the dividend yield was a little higher, the price was a little lower. Of course, you could say that about any company, right? Like, oh, I would be more interested if it was cheaper. But the reality is, it does seem to be trading at a little bit higher than its typical valuation. But I don't think it's massively overpriced. So those are my thoughts on Republic Services. And thank you for listening to Stock Stories. Again, my name is Alex. I'm your host. And if you want to interact with me, feel free to do that. Email me at alex@stockstoriespodcast.com or follow me on Instagram, stockstories1. That's the number 1. And that's the same for Twitter as well. So, I'd love to hear feedback. What companies do you want to hear about? Feedback about the show, anything that you can talk about that you think would be useful, or you just want to share your opinion with me. You can also do that by reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Podcasts or whatever platform you're listening to this on right now. And subscribing also really helps grow the show and get the word out so that we can help more people make better investing decisions. So with that, I'll see you in the next one. Information presented here on Stock Stories is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. You and you alone are responsible for your investment and financial decisions. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, or financial advisor that can analyze your specific situation in the context of your goals and circumstances.